Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 14. Mark, chapter number 14. Last week we were in Mark, chapter 13. Talked a little bit about the second coming of Christ. Talked a little bit about the rapture. And today we're going to continue on into Mark, chapter number 14. We may come back a little bit to Mark, chapter 13 after Resurrection Sunday and look a little bit more about a couple of those passages talking about the signs of things to come. But today we're staying actually all Sunday school, Sunday morning and Sunday night on Mark chapter 14, one of the very beautiful story that we have here, Mary of Bethany anointing the head and feet of Jesus. If you're here for Sunday school class, we looked at the stark difference or contrast between Judas Iscariot and Mary of Bethany. And I mentioned to the Sunday school class that if you had a favorite Bible character that was a lady, that was a female, most people have lots of different choices. They would say Esther or Deborah or Mary, the mother of Jesus, and a lot of different things. But my favorite one is this lady here, Mary of Bethany. And just mostly because of this act that she does here, but also because of the fact that every time we see her, she's at Jesus' feet. She's always wanting to learn or wanting to worship. So when we consider how crazy things are happening in the world, we come to a spot and we're like, oh, what can we do? And the reality is we can't do everything. Something that we all have to learn and come to the stark reality is we cannot do everything. But the truth of the matter is we can do something. And one of my favorite phrases in the Bible comes from this story, and it's found in verse number 8. If you've been around since I've been here for the last 20 years, especially 15 years as a pastor, I've used this phrase a couple different times, and maybe you've even heard me use this phrase to you or something like it. It says, she hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. I would encourage you to mark that in your Bible, because lots of times people are thinking, well, what am I supposed to do about this? And what am I supposed to do about that? And if you think about Mark chapter 13, Jesus is going to take his church home. And you think about all the different things that are going to happen during the tribulation period. He says, what am I supposed to do with those things? And it says here that Mary of Bethany was commended by the Lord for her act of worship, her act of service. And this is what she said. This is how he said it. He described it. She had done what she could. Now, I want you to think, and today we're going to look at a lot of different things, a lot of different interesting things. We're going to try to get majority, if not all of this part done. I'm going to look at verse number 9 tonight, talking about what people will say about us or the memorial that she left behind. But I'd like to think for a second or two about what she could not do, what she could not do. But before we get there, why don't we read the story again? I know many of you are serving in the back or wasn't here for Sunday school, but I'll read about this familiar story. We looked at it in Matthew, Mark, and John this morning. We know that it's Mary of Bethany from the story that's found in John. We know that Judas is the one that was complaining, but he also was the one that used his influence to get all the disciples to also complain. So in verse number 3, and being in Bethany and the house of Simon the leper. So we see where they're at. They're at dinner, as far as we know. Martha is serving in John chapter number 12. So we feel like it's the same story here. We do not know who Simon the leper is, except we know that Simon the leper is a former leper, because they would not be in the house. He would be out according to the law and traditions of the day and time as someone that we're assuming Jesus had healed. As he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, very precious. Now, this alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, is something that many times people would set aside for the day that they were going to die so they could be anointed with this ointment upon their death and upon their burial. So this is something that would be very valuable. This is something that was made from different ingredients that was grown in India. And so we hear and see that this is very precious. It's very expensive. And she broke the box and poured it out on his head. And there was some that had indignation. So we see in John chapter 12 that we looked at earlier this morning that it was Judas that began this. And it wasn't just Judas. He spread his influence. So there was multiple, some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to this poor. And it says, and they murmured against her. So this woman, out of a pure heart, is trying to do something kind, showing worship and love to the Savior, and people are murmuring. We notice in John chapter 12 this morning, they call Judas a thief. He's the one that had the bag. The reason why he wasn't really concerned about the poor, it says, instead he was worried about trying to steal money from this. Verse number 6, Jesus defends the lady, and Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me." So what they were saying was a waste. Jesus was saying a good work. And then he makes this comment, "For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always." Now, if we look at this, he's not saying that we should not help the poor here. He's just saying you have money opportunities, but Mary understood that this was her only opportunity to do what she's getting ready to do. Love the phrase in verse number 8. She have done what she could. And I think that's what God expects. He expects us to do what we can. He does not expect us to do things that he has not called us to do. He does not expect us to do things he has not enabled us to do. Sometimes we get worried. Sometimes we get frustrated. Sometimes we get overwhelmed by lots of different things. But he said, and this is the commendation he gave her, she have done what she could. And then he says, she has come beforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she have done be spoken of for a memorial of her. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us today. Lord, we need to hear from you. Lord, these people do not need to hear from me. Lord, I pray that you would give me the words to say, and you would take those words, Lord, and speak to the people's hearts. Lord, each person in this room has needs. Lord, some need to be edified today. Some need to be corrected. Some need to be saved. And Lord, as we see this selfless act of worship and adoration, Lord, would you inspire us to love you that way? To understand there are things in this world we cannot do, but there are things, Lord, that we can do. And Lord, that we would take the time to do it when possible. Lord, because there's a day coming that you're going to call your church home. There's a day coming when we're going to leave this world. And no longer will we have the opportunity to worship you in this way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we come to the story we see here, and I want to try to set a little bit of a backdrop. I'm not the greatest storyteller in the world. My oldest son, Brother Christian, the assistant pastor, he tells the story to the children's church each Sunday morning. He comes up with different things and ties the things together. And when I'm in there, I'm not always in there. I'm always there to teach the lesson, but I'm not always in there to hear the story. He brings out interesting facts and then he keeps, you know, biblical things, and it's encouraging. I'm not that type of storyteller, but I try to at least impress upon the things that God's pressed upon my heart. And when I see this story, I see a woman that's really in love with the Lord. She loves her Lord. She loves her Savior. She is someone who's known for sitting at his feet. That means when it's sitting at his feet means the idea that she's there, he's there, he's teaching. Where's Mary when we see him? Right at the feet of Jesus. It's a place of worship. It's a place of adoration. It's a place where he's humbling herself. She is taking time and she is focused on him. We see her there when Martha was serving that one time. We also see her here when Lazarus has passed and Jesus is getting ready to raise him. This time, Jesus is seated a little bit different around the dinner table. She comes in and she breaks open this box of ointment. But I want you to think about her mindset here. Of all the people, Jesus has been telling his disciples that he was getting ready to die. None of them picked up on it. They got angry about it. They questioned Jesus. Jesus had to rebuke Peter about his response. They knew it was coming, but it was not on their radar. You see how he reacts in the different chapters we're getting ready to in Mark and the other Gospels. It took them by surprise. Even after he arose from the dead and people and the ladies came back, many still didn't believe. But Mary of Bethany is the only person in the Bible that we see that actually believed it and saw that it was coming. Can you imagine that? The one she loved, the one she said was the resurrection of life, the one that she thought was the Messiah, the one that she thought was going to deliver mankind, all those things. And there is nothing she can do. You think about it. Think about some of the things she could not do. Number one, she couldn't save Jesus from the Roman soldiers. She's a lady. She's by herself. And she couldn't do it. Peter tried to do it. What did Peter do in the garden? He pulled out a sword, tried to cut the guy's head off and cut off the ear instead. And Jesus says, "Hey, look, put your sword away. I don't need that type of help." Another thing is she could not do. She could not take Jesus' place. Jesus took our place. Jesus paid our sin price because he was the perfect, holy Lamb of God. Mary couldn't do that. Mary could not save one person. Mary could not save herself. Mary could not deliver him out of the Roman soldier's hands. She had no power to save herself. She had no power to save anyone else. She could not even defend herself when Judas is sitting there and making these accusations. She's overwhelmed. The one she loves, her Messiah, is getting ready to be put to death. She doesn't know how to handle that because, once again, she can't do anything to take out a Roman soldier. She can't do anything to save herself. She knows this has to happen. She knows this is God's will. She knows this is what Jesus has been teaching. She's wondering, what in the world can I do? How can I show that I love him? How can I worship him? How can he know that I see what he's going through? And even though I can't understand it, and even though it's overwhelming me, what is it that I can do to show how much I care for him? Who knows what God brings to her mind, the Holy Spirit's mind brings to her mind. There is something I can do. There is something that is the most valuable thing I have. I want to give it to him. I want to show my love that way. I don't want anybody to miss the fact that I love him and I worship him and I'm anointing his body. I understand what's getting ready to happen. And if he says this is what's got to happen, I can't do anything about it, but there is something I can do. I can show him that I believe in him, I trust in him, I worship him, and I want to show my love towards him. And what she do? She goes in while he's there and at meat, it says that he, in John, in Mark, Matthew and Mark, we see, it says they anoint his head. John chapter 12 talks about how they anoint his feet and then takes her hair and wipes his feet. Just beautiful picture there. Lots of different illustrations and applications, but it's just beautiful how much she loved him. That's what she could do. She couldn't do any of the other things, and her world is getting turned upside down. Her world is getting traumatized. Her world is, you know what? I can't do any of these other things. There's nothing I can do. All I can do is show how much I love him. All I can do is show how much I worship him. All I can do is just show him that I believe in him. Then I began thinking about Bible characters, and the Bible's filled with them. Bible characters that were faced in impossible circumstances. All they could do is what they could. And that's the idea of the message today. She have done what she could. It's the idea, do what you can in impossible circumstances. We live in a world today that's gone haywire, that's crazy, it's broken, it's sin-filled, it's disease-filled. It's got things and people around that don't have any interest in God. And God told us to go all the world and preach and teach the gospel. He's told us to be a witness. He's told us to love. He's told us to forgive. He's told us to do all these things. And if we sit there and we think about it from that aspect and it's like, well, I can't do all those things. Well, he's not asking you to do all those things. What he's asking you is to stay focused on what he's asked you to do and for you to do what you can. She have done what she could. He didn't say, Mary, why aren't you going to be with me in the garden and take on those Roman soldiers? Mary, why don't you take my place on the cross? He's not asking any of those things. What he's saying is, I want you to do what you can. I thought about some different Bible characters. I thought about Joseph in the Old Testament, how Joseph was put in prison. He couldn't take out his 11 brothers. He couldn't say, he goes, and what does he do? In an impossible situation, he serves Potiphar's house, does such a good job. God blesses him. He's lifted to the light. He can't deal with Potiphar's wife. There's nothing he can do. Shit was false accusations. He was forgotten about in the prison. Nothing he could do about that. What he did over and over, he did everything he could. He served. He worked hard. He didn't become bitter. He did what he could over and over. And then God raises up, make him second in charge of all Egypt. Think about the story of Esther. I mean, the Bible's filled with them. Esther there, queen, and she's there, and they're getting ready to kill her people, which would have included her also. And she's a little bit fearful, yes. Well, what she does? She does what she can. She uses her influence. I think about Daniel and the praying in the lion's den. What does he do? He doesn't go to the king. He doesn't take out the decree. He doesn't rip it up. He does what he can. The three Hebrew children are standing in front of the fiery furnace. What can they do? They can stand with their convictions and say, I'm not going to bow. Over and over, impossible circumstances that we think, well, if they would have just knocked out Nebuchadnezzar and overthrown the kingdom, they couldn't do those things. All they could do was what they could. I think about the story about the boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and how the thousands of people that are around, this is an impossible situation. How are they going to feed all those things? That little boy didn't have to figure those things out. He was just a little boy. Well, what did he have to figure out? He had to figure out, am I going to do what I can? And we see time and time again, I could bring up Bible character after Bible character about Noah. The world's going to be destroyed with a flood. What are you going to do, Noah? Are you going to teach everybody how to swim? No, I'm going to do what I can. What is that? I'm going to obey the Lord. He told me to build an ark. And there's a long list of different Bible characters you can go over. In possible situations, in possible circumstances, God is not holding them accountable for the things that they could not do. God is not holding them accountable for the things that they was not in their power or their ability to do. He is saying, I want you to do what you can with what you have. And that's what he commends this woman for. She had done what she could. She couldn't stop the crucifixion. She couldn't stop the Roman soldiers. She couldn't stop Judas from betraying. She had done what she could. Didn't seem like much, but it was something that she had done. She did what she could. So this morning, I like to think about some different things that we can do. And I know, we got over 8 billion people in the world today. I know there's a high percentage of people have never heard the name Jesus Christ. I know what God has called us to do. If it would be overwhelming, we think, well, I got to go reach all the people in India and Africa and all those other things. What he wants you to do is what you can. What he desires for you to do is do what you could. Not those things. He's like, well, who's going to figure out this? And who's going to figure out? That's God's job. He gives us things he wants us to do. So do what you can. And this story, that's what this beautiful picture of this worship comes to the spot, and she shows that she did what she could. So from those thoughts, let's encourage you with a few things we can do. Number one, we can live by faith. We can live by faith. We can trust the Lord. That's what this woman does. It's amazing when he says in verse number 7, he says, for the poor you have you with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me you have not always. She have done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. She believed what was getting ready to happen. Everybody else, I mean, once again, who knows? Maybe Lazarus knew. Who knows? Maybe Martha knew. Who knows? Maybe there was other Bible characters that had figured it out. Most of the people that we see in the picture that's found there is that they were all frightened. They were all scared. They were all worried. No one was at that tomb that first Sunday morning waiting for the tomb to be open, knowing that Jesus was going to be there. There's no one there. Yes, there's people going, but there was no one there. So in the picture of this is the only person in all the Bible that was living by faith. I know you're going to die. I don't know when. I know it's soon, but let me do what I can to help you and encourage you. We can live by faith. That is something we can do. We can be faithful. No one else there's nothing that is stopping any of us from living by faith. There is nothing that's stopping us from not trusting in the Lord. Now, our flesh is going to try to stop us. Others may try to stop us, but there is nothing in this world. God, if you're a born again Christian today, you have the opportunity and ability to live by faith because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. The second thing is not only is it that we can live by faith, the second thing is we can worship. We can worship. Now, worship gives this idea and this picture of that God is worthy. And he is worthy of my time, my effort, my resources. That's what I mean. Worship, in all sense, just means God is up here and everything else is down here. He is worthy of my adoration. He is worthy of my praise. He is worthy of my time. He's worthy of my resources. He's worthy of it all. And that's what you see this woman here. She loves him so much. She desires that he would understand that she knows what he's going through. She had no idea what else to do, but she wants him to understand, I love you. I care for you. I see what you're going through, and I want to demonstrate this. I want to worship you. I want to take the most valuable thing I have, and more than likely as a single woman in this culture, at least we believe she's single, and she is preparing this ointment for the day that she is going to die, and they're going to anoint her body with it. She says, I don't care about that. This is the most precious thing I have, and because you are the most precious thing to me, I want to worship you and show you you are worthy of my best. You know what? We can all do that. Do we? Not most, but we can. So if we're saying, well, Pastor, how are we going to reach these people? How are we going to reach that people? We're living in impossible situations. We cannot do all things, but we can do what we can. And what we can do is we can learn to walk by faith, and we can learn to worship him. We can learn to make him a priority. We can learn to love him with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength. We can do those things. There is a lot of things we cannot do. We cannot go and run for president. I mean, I'm sure somebody can go run for president. But you know what I'm saying? Most of us cannot do certain things. But there is something we can do. We can worship him. Another thing that we can do is we can sacrifice. Wait, that's what this woman does. It's a picture of sacrifice. I mean, she gave her best. We see that, and we mentioned in Sunday school hour when it says the 300 pence, and I showed it and broke it down a little bit. A pence is in reference to a day's wages for a regular laborer, and that in the day and time that we live in, even they're talking about 300 pence. Most people work only 250 days, at least at a job they get paid for. I know what most of the men are thinking. I don't ever get a day off. I work every single day because when I get home from work, I got my honey-do list. I get that, but the paid job that we do is Monday through Friday. Now they would done a 6-day work week, and so that 300 pence, it's something that's probably around $30,000 at least. She was willing to give her best. There's nothing stopping us from giving our best to the Lord. There isn't. These are things that we can do. Each and every one of us, we can live by faith. We can worship, which means put a highest priority on him. We can sacrifice. There is nothing stopping us from sacrificing. We live in a day and time in our American Christianity. It's watered down. We think just because we're inconvenienced that we're sacrificing. I don't think we truly understand what sacrifice looks like. Giving of ourselves in a way that hurts. There's a story I was reading as I was studying this. I was talking about there was a pastor that went to a mission field, and that they were there, and they were in an area, and there was a man that was plowing a field, but instead of having an ox, they were using another human, and they were taking turns to turn a field up. And the pastor says, "Wow, you guys are in a very poor area." And he says that they're taking turns, you know, acting. He says, no, what they did was they sold the ox that they had to give to missions, to not only just their own, but to give to missions in other parts of the world. So that way they were willing to give that up. And the pastor was like, wow, he went home and told his church family that. What sacrifice looks like. You go look it up, consider, ask God, what is it that I'm really sacrificing? That this was Mary's best. I don't think there was any doubt in her mind that this is what she was supposed to do. And she didn't give any cost. Didn't say that she just, you know, took the box and opened it a little bit so she could save the rest. It says that she broke it. You know what that meant? It was all going. I don't think there was any that she was trying to clean up and keep for herself. She was willing to sacrifice it all. We can do that. We often don't. We're wondering, what in the world can I do in this world? Mary's overwhelmed. Her Messiah is getting ready to die. I don't know what I can. And Jesus commends her. She have done what she could. She couldn't knock out the Roman Empire. She could not set Jesus up to be the king. She could not save the sins of mankind. She could not even save herself. She couldn't take Jesus' spot. There is nothing she could do except for this. And she says, she have done what she could. What can we do? We can sacrifice. We can worship. We can live by faith. Next thing I want you to think about is, we mentioned this a little bit in Sunday school class, but I think it's important. We can encourage other people. We can encourage each other. Judas here in the story uses his influence to discourage. He goes from the guy in chapter 12 in John being the only one complaining. The other disciples jump in Matthew and jump in Mark, where it says they, and it says the disciples in Matthew, that he used, that you can encourage others. You say, Pastor, you mean, the Bible tells us that God has given us as a church family to provoke each other to good works, to consider one another. And there is something we can do. We can encourage one another. Now, church sometimes is filled with people that want to encourage others, and church sometimes is other people provoking to bad works. they miss it. And I mentioned in Sunday school class, and I truly believe this, a person who worships like this and a person who sacrifices like this and a person who lives by faith like this see things differently. They don't see things as, hey, this is mine. I got to hold it back. We use the difference between Judas today and Mary today and how Judas went to the religious leaders. What will you give me? And Mary's like, what can I give? There are some out there who's like, what can I get? What title can I have? What position can I have? What is it that this church can give me? And then there's others that says, what can I do to serve? I love him so much. I want to respond. This is the church he set up. This is a place where I serve. What can I do to encourage? What can I do to be a blessing? And there's others, what can I do to stir up trouble? We got to be careful. We can encourage others. Mary's act of worship has been told for ages. Now, not only this, and I don't want to get outside the box, and I don't want you to be thinking like that's a little bit off, but you think about this. Could you imagine how much of an encouragement this was to Jesus? I mean, I know he's God, and does he really need encouragement? I don't know. I know he sees our worship. There's a sweet odor, sweet savor. There are things that, but do you imagine everybody else left him. In the garden, he's there by himself. But you know what would have still been on his clothes? That smell. It was intended to go into their body. When he's getting beaten, when he's getting whipped, maybe even when he's up on the cross, I still smell. There was someone who loved me. There was someone who listened. There was someone who was encouraged. And I don't want, but when I think about that, you know, you got the Judas that betrays him. You got all the other disciples that left. You got many that are not believing. Judas is picking on what she's doing. The religious leaders are sitting there mocking him and saying, he saved others. Could he not save himself? I mean, they're taking a crown of thorns and they're putting it on his head, and it talks about how they beat it on his head and they put a robe around him and they mock him and say he's the king. But I wonder if that fragrance was still there. That's what the fragrance was supposed to be there. It was supposed to be put on the body. It was supposed to last with the different things. But could you imagine if he could still smell that, how much of encouragement it would have been? There's somebody who loved me. There's someone who cared for me. Maybe nobody else understands, but there was this one woman who listened, and there was this one woman who came, and even though she faced cruelty, and even though she faced mocking from those that were supposed to be her peers, his disciples, she loved me so much, she gave her best, and she worships me so much, and she loves me so much, she understood, and she listened to what I was saying. You know what? We can encourage others with the way we live our lives. And we can worship the Lord. And it encourages the heart of our Father, I believe. Another thing is we can be obedient. We can be obedient. No one forces us to disobey. I know our flesh is fighting us. I know others might push us this way. What can we do? We can't do certain things, but we can do this. We can worship. We can sacrifice. We can live by faith. We can encourage others. We can also be obedient. I love this story. And you go over here, it says, and if you read a few verses earlier, look what it says in verse number 12. And then the first day of the unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? So they're asking, hey, where do you want us to eat the Passover? They're not thinking he's going to die. They're worried about the Passover. And look how the description here. And he sent it forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared there, make ready for us. You say, well, that's a neat story. Well, think about it. The disciples said, hey, where should you go? Jesus doesn't give them the address. Does Jesus know where it's at? He does. But what do they have to do? They have to obey. I want you to go to the city. First guy you see with a pitcher. Don't you think there would have been a lot of guys? I mean, it would have been easy. Disciples, hey, Jesus, can you be a little bit more specific? Jesus, can you tell us the color of the house? Can you give us the house number? It's probably, you know, Mark's mother that's there, and it's a well-known house. It's a well-known spot. Hey, Jesus, why don't you just give us the guy's name? You know who it is. What he wants to do is be obedient. Sometimes we say, Jesus is right in the clouds. He says, I just want you to be obedient. I want you to do what you could. I know you can't do everything, and I'm not asking you to do everything. I'm not going to hold you accountable for everything. I'm not going to expect you to do everything, but I want you to do what you can. Another thing is you can be faithful. You can be faithful. Not only be obedient, you can be faithful. This list could go on and on, and I don't want to keep on doing it, but another thing is you can be faithful. No one's going to stop you from being faithful. Yes, you're going to have obstacles. There was obstacles for Mary. Why would I give this out? Maybe I should give half of it. Maybe that wasn't in her mind at all. There was just worship. There was just the love. She saw things differently because her love was different, and she was faithful. Last thing we'll put on the list of things you can be. Nothing stops us. You can be clean. You don't have to be dirty. You don't have to let sin rule and reign in your body. Go read Romans chapter 6. Yes, we deal with the flesh. Yes, we have struggles. Yes, it's a battle, but we do not have to sin. If you're a born-again Christian, we do not have to sin. You can have victory. So here's the thoughts here. The things she could not do, the things we can do. Last but not least, don't wait to do the things you can. Don't wait to do the things you can. Look at Mark chapter 14. Look at what it says in verse number 7. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me, you have not always. For some reason, I'm struggling with reading that verse. I've heard people say lots of weird things about that verse. But the reality is, there is a time and amount of days that we can serve. We have a chance. I think it's interesting that sometimes we want to put things off, but if the things you can do, we should do today. And the Bible talks about, you know, last week we talked about what? Watch, pay attention, do those things. I always thought it was interesting, and the Lord kind of brought it to my mind, emphasized it this week. She came to anoint the bearing, right? She didn't want to miss the opportunity. She was such an encouragement to her Lord. What about those other women that came to the tomb on that resurrection morning? Did they get to use their spices? No, the body was gone. They missed the chance. There are times when we get an opportunity to work and do what we can. And there's other times when the door's going to be shut. Now, there's other ladies, were they sincere? Of course they were sincere. It was Mary Magdalene. I mean, God changed her. She's got an amazing story in her heart. She was the one that was weeping at the tomb. You don't see Mary of Bethany there. Why is that? She already did her worship. And it's different stories, different people, and at least I believe it is. There are some people out there who think that Mary of Bethany was Mary Magdalene. I don't think that at all. But they didn't get the chance to anoint Jesus' body. He rose, that's good. You missed it. There could have been more that worshiped Jesus the night before if they would have done what they could. I mean, the disciples were there. All 12 of them had heard the same thing. I'm going to die. I'm going to do this. How is it that Mary figured it out and nobody else did? I believe there's a love there. There's a worship there. There's an attention. You know, every time we see Mary, where is she at? She's at the feet. She's there. She's listening. She's on purpose taking it in. What's she doing? She's doing what she can. We can all listen. We can all study. Now, some of us are smarter than others. Some of us can read faster. Some of us can accomplish more. We can all pray. We can all be a witness. There are some things that we can do. And that's what he's saying. What was great about what Mary did was she wasn't trying to figure out all the things she could not do and why she could not do them. She was spending her time focusing on what can I do and not missing the window. What can I do? Because so many times I think the window is getting closer and closer to being shut about what we can do. And we let opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity pass us by thinking, well, I can't do anything there and I can't do anything. But there is something you can do in the situation. You can pray. You can be a witness. You can encourage somebody. You can live by faith. You can worship. You can sacrifice. There's no one stopping you from doing those things. And I know some of your physical abilities might be not there anymore. And I know I sometimes have older people that come up to me and say, hey, Pastor, I wish I could do more. I physically can't do that. And I've told a number of them, you know, told them the exact same story. God expects you to do what you can, not what you can't. Now, don't use that as an excuse. Don't use that as an excuse. Say, well, I just can't do that anymore. Okay, but there is a list of things you can do. You can pray. You can read your Bible. You can worship. You can sacrifice. You can live by faith. You can be clean. You can be faithful. You can do all these different things. Don't use it as an excuse why you can't. There's a lot that you can do. And that's what I encourage people when they get discouraged. I remember some people that are there and some, especially senior citizens, wishing that they could have done it before and they sign up to do certain jobs. I remember Janice Franks was one of those ladies who got disappointed in her body. She wanted to clean. She wanted to do whatever she could to help. And she's like, look, if I can't do anything else, there is something I can do. I can clean. And remember in the bathrooms, and back in the bathrooms one time she was cleaning, she fell and she hit her head on the counter and she got hurt. And she, you know what she wanted? She's like, she said, Pastor, I want to go back to cleaning. And her family didn't really want her to do that. I says, well, why don't, and we gave her something else to do. She just wanted something to serve. She wanted to do something. There is things you can do. Stop making excuses. There are things you can do. Get our hearts right so we can do what he expects us to do, so the testimony can be she did what she could. And she could not stop what was getting ready to happen. It was the will of God, and she did not know how to do all the things. I can imagine what's going on in her mind and her heart, and I don't know, but at the same time, she knew there was something she could do that would encourage her Lord and Savior. She did what she could. So this morning, my question to you is, are you doing what you can? You can be clean. You can get it right. You don't have to harbor bitterness. You can be faithful. You can read your word, read the Bible. You can learn how to worship. You can learn how to sacrifice. These are all things that God has given us the ability to do. These are things you can do. Don't shut the door on it and saying, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. There's something you can do. Don't make an excuse why you can't. This morning, you see what this done and you say, $30,000, why would she waste something? It's because of the love she had for her Lord and Savior. She understood what he was getting ready to do. She understood why. She was overwhelmed by it and she loved it. And he said, if you're not a born-again Christian, if you've never understood that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, if you've never believed, you've never accepted, then you're never going to understand that. God puts that love in our hearts, and we see that. It makes a person desire to want to sacrifice. It makes a person really, if they think about it, want to worship. Realize, you know, I can't do everything, but there is something I can do. I can be a blessing. I can be a witness. I can help where God's given me a chance to do. That's what I can do. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing what I can do. It begins with believing. It begins with repenting of your sins and trusting by faith in what Jesus Christ did on that cross. And then it's spending a life doing what he enables us to do. Someday we're going to be held accountable at that second, you know, at the Bema seat. You know, believers are going to be there, and our works are going to be judged. What we did and we didn't, opportunities we have, attitudes, things like that. Don't miss out. Do what you can. Don't minimize what you can do. Learn to worship. Learn to sacrifice. Learn to be faithful. I want to be an encouragement to my Lord. I want him to look and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's how much I love him. I don't want to disappoint him. That's what the fear of the Lord is. I love him so much, I'm fearful that I could disappoint or fail him. All Mary was doing was, I love you so much, and you're going to face a lot of cruelty. You're going to face a lot of hatred. You're going to face a lot of people out there that are mocking. It's an ugly world. But inside this ugly world, I want you to see that I'm someone who loves you. and I want to worship you. And because I love you, I'm going to do what I can. And this is what that looks like, this sacrifice. Let's pray.